and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Georgina Godwin. Today, we're spinning the globe to visit art exhibitions in the US, UK and Germany. And leading us on this worldwide tour is the art critic and curator, Francesca Gavin. Francesca, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
So let's start here in London and we head to Rodeo Gallery in Soho. Now, that's currently playing host to the German-Italian gallery, Soportico Lopez. It's part of the arts festival Condo 2017. So before we get into the show that's on at this gallery, just tell us a little bit about what Condo is, because it's a very interesting concept.
Oh, it's so exciting. I think it's really reinvigorated the whole art scene in London. This is the second year it's taken place, and essentially it's about 15 British galleries in London who are doing exchanges or collaborations with largely European, but then a few more further galleries further afield, and bringing artists who aren't necessarily known within this country into a different context. And it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. When it opens, you like feel that not only collectors, but like there's a whole new audience wanting to discover something. I think it really was a brilliant concept and it works perfectly.
And are the galleries scattered across the capital? You have to travel significantly
between
them.
Quite fun. It kind of turns London into a big biennial. Mm-hmm. So there's three spaces in central London, and then there's quite a large amount in East London, and then let's say about four or five in South London. But the main focus, I mean, when it originally happened last year, the focus was very much on emerging galleries, but that's expanded to include some of the best galleries in the country, notably Maureen Paley and Sadie Coles, who are probably at the top of their game, but also very open to experimentation. So mm-hmm. they're really almost giving their seal of approval to the whole process of Condo.
Well, let's zone in now and have a look at Soportico Lopez, who've brought the Swiss artist Franziska Lantz over with them for an exhibition entitled Expanding Arid Zones. So at a glance, this might look like a lot of old junk hanging from the ceiling. What does the show do, Francesca?
I mean, all the shows were exceptionally exciting and I discovered a lot of new names, but this work was definitely stunning. Out. When you enter the space, Rodeo is really interesting. It basically was originally a gallery based in Istanbul that moved here a few years ago, has quite an international program. And the gallery itself had one of their normal artists upstairs, Harris Epaminondo, who's Cypriot and based between London and Berlin. But Franziska Lantz is basically taking weird elements she's found in the Thames. She's actually based here, including like old bones, old pipes, found clothing, and creating these kind of hanging mobiles with a techno soundtrack in the background that seem to be kind of figurative. They kind of refer almost to like burnt out army figures. They feel very much like the remnants of war, but they've actually come out of the Thames itself. And the results are incredible. Really, really atmospheric, work incredibly well within the space, have a real sense of volume and the body, and really, really interesting new work.
Mm-hmm. Who is she? Tell us a little bit about Franziska Lantz.
Well, I'm going to be really honest and say I hadn't known her work before this show, even though she's based here. And I know she has a radio show on Resonance FM. So she's very much an artist working between sound and the sculptural installation. But I think that's the whole entire point of Condo. It's artists, even if they're in your own city, that you can discover through this. So or the artists get to experiment more. So let's say Carlos Ishikawa and work with Oscar Murillo, who's exceptionally well known, his shows with David Zwerner in New York. But during Condo, he created this sort of theatre space with stuffed figures around it, which is very different from the kind of work you're known of, including other artists from Shanghai, for example, that basically made it feel like his work was part of a wider international context. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very much what's happening with Franziska Lantz in this space.
And is it quite jarring with all of these different things that she's dragged out of the river, along with the soundtrack, as you say, kind of filthy beats and kind of grimy techno?
Mm. I think it's exceptionally apt at this moment in time, this kind of feeling of the remnants of time, war, this kind of erosion. There's a really natural erosion that's going with a lot of the objects. Everything feels quite rusty and textured and a little bit uncomfortable, but you kind of feel like she's gone around a war zone and picked it and created that and recreated war in some way. And considering all the things we're going through in 2016 and hopefully not into 2017, it feels really interesting and very political, actually.
Franziska Lantz, Expanding Arid Zones, is on at Rodeo Gallery in London until the 11th of February. And to find out more about the galleries taking part in Condo 17, head to condocomplex.org. Right, let's move on now, and we'll nip to New York, and more specifically to the Kitchen Gallery. Now, that's, of course, run by the wonderful Tim Griffin, and it's a fantastic space, isn't it? Who's on show there at the moment, Francesca?
It's an interesting duet. It's a collaborative show between two artists who are best known for their involvement in the internet. So Olia Lialina, excuse me, who was very much part of the early net art scene in the 1990s, and whose work has been hugely influential on decades of artists afterwards, and Corey Archangel, who's a New York-based artist who pretty much came up around the turn of the millennium in the 2000s, again, having a huge influence on a group of artists underneath. And the pair of them have come together to create an immersive installation that reflects both of their interests in technology and how you can incorporate that within a gallery space, the use of the archival, the idea of a GIF being something that you want to preserve and represent, and the idea of dissemination of the internet. It's a really interesting duet. And I think given a lot of weight and importance by putting it in such a respected institution as the Kitchen, because the Kitchen has a huge legacy from the 1970s onwards.
Yeah, absolutely, all sort of Laurie Anderson and that kind of ilk coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, and the idea of the performative, it's very much like a space known for being supportive of performance.
So they look at the idea of power online, and I wonder how digitally they reproduce this kind of art.
Well, I'm very curious to see how that's worked out. I know that they're reproducing some sort of archival motifs that touch on Yahoo and GeoCities web designs, which are now defunct, and that kind of the idea of a history within the internet. I find that really interesting. There'll definitely be some screen-based elements, but this is the first time the duo have worked together. So I think the manifestation of that is going to be quite different from what either of their work normally looks like. I would argue that Corey Archangel's, one of his most present things are taking things from YouTube and reproducing that in some way, or his use of gradients, playing around with the formation of Photoshop or computer games. And Olia is kind of coming from a different kind of very early, more graphic, maybe very more narrative-based idea of how you use technology as a way to create art. So I think it's a fascinating combination. I have no idea how it's going to quite work, but I think it's definitely worth visiting.
I mean, just sort of reading around people are talking about an historic shift in the influence of social media platforms, and also how people who use social media have massive influence on cultural life. And it also looks, I believe, at the shaping of political discourse. And of course, what a time to do it.
Well, I actually think those two things are probably the argument that I think everyone's talking about at this moment in time, which is what is the influence of social media on the political landscape, and how does that impact on our experience of the aesthetic, but also how we view the world in general. I'm really fascinated on this idea of how we see images and how that's changed in a world of Instagram and Snapchat and stories and Facebook, and very much how we look for authenticity or ideas of things being reworked. And I think you have to look at artists who also have been using technology and the internet for a very long time to discuss ideas around the dissemination of imagery. I think you really need to be looking at artists for new ways to define how we can relate to social images.
And what government by Twitter means too. they've both traced the way that culture's changed with the internet, as we say, over the past couple of decades. Do they see it as a good thing?
I've always found, I mean, Corey Archangel's work is probably maybe a little bit more seen in a wider audience. I think she's very much sort of more of a fan culture thing within that scene. Corey's very much moved more into a wider art world. I never felt there was like necessarily a criticism of the medium itself. It's more like how it's used. I mean, essentially, artists are there to provide a mirror to our social experience. And today, in this exceptionally digitalized technological world that we inhabit, it makes sense that artists are drawing on that to make creative commentary.
Well, that creative commentary on show at The Kitchen, Corey Archangel and Olia Lialina, Asymmetrical Response. As I say, at The Kitchen, that's in New York until the 18th of February. We're ending up in the German city of Bonn for a brand new exhibition. It opened this weekend. It's by LA artist Amanda Ross-Ho. So first of all, if you could tell us, who is she?
She's a great artist. She originally studied in Chicago, but she's been based in LA for a long time. And very much that move to the space that she found in Los Angeles as part of her practice. Her work has always been almost an extension of her studio practice. So she would make these kind of unusual assemblages, a lot of found objects, a lot of exaggerated, oversized things or things that reference the history of photography. It very much seemed to come out of like deconstructing what the relationship to photography could be and how images were created in almost a theatrical way, and taking those studio elements and placing them within an exhibition context. Mm. And the results are always really unusual and very, very interesting.
Mm. Well, in this case, it's a completely new body of work, and it's inspired by Charlie Chaplin's 1936 political comedy, Modern Times. So what's she taken from the film then to reproduce in her art?
Well, I find this an amazing film to be referencing again at this exceptionally political moment in time. Mm. And I think we're going to see a huge increase of artists making political comment in their art, almost to the extent of which if you don't make political commentary within your art, you're almost marginalized. Mm. It feels irrelevant at this moment in time. And I find that actually a really positive space to be living in. I think we're going to get a lot of interesting work emerging because of this. Rosso's, she's got like she's got a clock projection, which is obviously the most famous symbol from Charlie Chaplin's film, which is very much about looking at the idea of working man and man in its relationship to production and capital and the little man, which, I mean, Charlie Chaplin was an embodiment of the little man. Mm. So she's playing on that motif of the clock, the idea of the working implements, the idea of the uniform, these kind of oversized trousers. She often uses ideas of oversized T-shirts and oversized trousers as a motif throughout her work. But I think this is an exceptionally great narrative structure for an exhibition, and it's her largest show she's ever had in Europe. It's her first show in Germany. So I think it's a really great way to get an artist who's best known in the States to be given a good deal of European attention.
Mm-hmm. She uses everyday bits of clutter as well as newspaper articles, narcotics agency records, life aspiration manuals, homecraft instruction booklets, lots of different kind of source material for her work. What point do you think she's trying to make?
Well, it's an interesting thing. It feels very personal when you see the items, but at the same time, it's very much about this kind of archival, overwhelming immersion of imagery, I think, we're living in. That she doesn't make clean work. It's quite dirty, it's quite textured, it's quite painterly in some way. You feel like the grime of the studio within her objects. And I think that goes really well with the idea of the grime of production and the idea of working in the factory that's represented by the film. I think the political here is very nuanced and quite understated and maybe ambiguous, and I think that's a really positive element to the work that we can't quite necessarily, there's nothing didactic within it in that sense. It's very much an open-ended idea of the political.
So that's Amanda Ross-Ho. She's on show at the Bunner Kunstverein until the 2nd of April, and that's in Bonn. And that's the end of today's show. Thanks very much to you, Francesca Gavin, for coming in. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. It was researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow for our music review. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.